The NBA season is heating up, and Kevin O'Connor and Chris Vernon have got you covered on The Mismatch. They discuss all the news, the trends, and transactions happening around the league. They also offer their on-court analysis and occasionally get into heated debates. Check out The Mismatch on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else. This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower what's next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
All right, first ever Tuesday edition of Sports Cards Nonsense. Had the holiday yesterday, so we did not work. Jesse just turned his camera on. What is that? What is this a mask of, Jesse?
What do you mean?
Also, we need to get this video. I don't know if it has to be YouTube, but we need some clips of this. Describe what I'm looking at.
I shaved my head. I figured I had a lot of swim resistance.
You shaved your head and you aged 20 years since I saw you yesterday?
Here's the thing. Sometimes, even though we're not on video, I think to myself, God, I wish we were on video. And I get on Amazon late at night and I start going through costume material. And this is what I end up with.
This is what your 49% is buying you?
This costumes? Is one of the things. Don't you worry. I got a few.
It's what really is it exciting. A picture? Is it just a generic thing? What is it?
You have it's the crying baby, like an adult man baby looking.
Your audio is horrible. I'll be honest with you. I don't think it's worth it. Plus, I can't imagine the amount of sweat under that thing.
Everyone. I'm sorry for all the listeners who don't get to enjoy watching me.
Sweat in an old man mask and a little old baby Benjamin Button mask?
All right, fine. Let's get the show started. It's a Tuesday. I figured let's jump in this. Let's just get wild. Let's get a little wild.
Here's the thing.
Shows are weird.
You've had some good masks. That wasn't one of them. It's not your fault.
I disagree. I think it looks really good. It
doesn't look bad. Lack of energy today. I apologize. I'm chugging Monster like nobody's business. I went back to the original, just a straight white, no sugar.
Let's see how fast you can drink it. I'll talk while you drink. Go.
Let's just chug this thing right now.
Come on. Why? Don't be weird about it.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, how was your weekend?
Nationals officially on and will be at 100% capacity. I just saw that come across my Twitter stream.
So 100% capacity.
They said by June 11th or July 11th, whatever, sometime well before the show, it's going to be at 100% capacity.
I wish I knew what that number was. Do we know how many people can fit in that thing? You've been to these things before. It's thousands.
It's tens of thousands. It's a stupid big place. Donald Stevens Arena is massive, or whatever they call it. I don't know if it's called an arena. I don't really know what it is. Where do you want to start today?
Here's the thing. I think you and I can go ahead and let the audience in on a little secret. We typically don't prepare a lot because we like it to be very natural.
No prep today, though.
There's almost no prep today. However,
you can't tell by this performance either.
There's a lot of high topic bullet points. We're like, that's a bullet point. That's one.
I turned on my camera. Jesse turned off his camera and then came back on live with that goofy mask.
And then that was about the prep that we had.
I thought you were going to leave it off. I was going to say, I refuse to do a show without audio. I mean, without video. I'm not going to talk to a blank screen.
No,
you could. Some would say that's what I'm doing when I speak to you, but it's not. It's not the case.
That's a hurtful statement. Speaking of hurtful statements, can we go back? I want to clarify a statement I made because I'm really concerned.
Really? Is this an apology? Wait a minute.
This is an apology.
What?
To Mr. Richard Simmons.
Okay, hold on.
If this is an actual Spotify.
If this is a real apology, you can't preface it Richard Simmons. You have to say his real name, you donkey.
No, I won't do that.
What is this?
I made a comment that I said in jest that one day we will be big enough to be on XM radio.
Spotify blows XM Radio out of the water, by the way.
I agree with that statement.
I got
statement.
A text message at like 10 o'clock that night from However, Mr. Simmons.
However, apparently that was a comment that was not taken as well. And I just want to clarify.
I told you it was a joke. He joked about it.
You know what? I don't know if it was a joke because last I heard, he hated my guts. And it's all because of Bitcoin. And that's your fault. You said, can we also clarify that point? I never said anybody buy Bitcoin or Ethereum. I said buy Dogecoin. You talked me into buying Ethereum.
I'm glad we're starting off with the really relevant topics. I got a message at 7 o'clock last Thursday, right after the Chris Vernon. Well, not right after.
Yeah, well, you told me and it freaked me out.
When we get our SiriusXM studio, this is from Bill to me and Chris. Iconic stuff from Jesse. He's on the Lakers and wants to play for the Timberwolves. Jesse's big dream is taking 17 steps backwards.
Why is that?
He likes you. Good for you. And then Then they both just teamed up on me. We're like, Trae Young's great. Whatever. Trae Young prices.
Are we going to talk about Trae Young today?
We talk about something.
We got to talk about. Let's just get into the big picture.
Is there a big
picture? NBA playoffs.
We're breaking this up soon too. Thursday show. We're talking about any. I know it's the middle of the NBA playoffs. We're not doing NBA talk to start the next show. Like okay. For the big picture. We do it every week, which I guess we
that's
have
fair.
To. Baseball is still, there's some intriguing storylines, but there's nothing like crazy. So, I mean, I guess we have to do a lot of NBA. Tatis, by the way, is like the most talented and actually has, I love that kid. You will not convince me otherwise. He's phenomenal and he actually has some attitude. Like the only player who's enjoyable to watch in the whole league.
I'm so glad you said that because that Tatis card is really, it just mocks me every time I look at it.
Real quick, before we get into big picture. But 13
I already
minutes
said
of
big
just,
picture. We're 13 already
minutes
in.
Of babbling already. What is okay. the Phil Mickelson value right now?
What?
I do want to know because people had asked, hey, is it going to stay at 300? My prediction was it settled like 150 to 200. Where's it at right now? Do you know?
Yeah. I keep it up. I actually keep the tab up just constantly because I do like
really?
To check it. Yeah. Last sold yesterday, 165. It's come down.
Right
it's come down
right
quite
in the
a
range
bit.
Of my prediction. Okay. Interesting. To go along with the rest of the bubble bursting and the whole world falling apart.
That's the PSA 9 to clarify yeah. anybody wondering. So,
all right, big picture. just can't do it. Ronick, when we hit 45 minutes contractually, when we hit that mark, you come on here and start yelling. Hey, actually, where
it.
Is Ronick? Ronick, what is wrong with your Knicks?
My Knicks? They got a bit exposed. That's all I'll say. Yeah,
Derrick Rose, though. I think we can both agree. Derrick Rose has been a star of that. That's not true. Trae Young's been the star.
Rose is incredible, but they need to not start him. That's been screwing stuff up. So
also, what is it? Julius Randle at times is just looks like he doesn't belong in the NBA.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. They have a good plan for him defensively, but I also think it's his first playoff series ever. And he's just kind of a deer in the headlights. You know,
it's not good. You'll be happy to know Jesse took the Hawks in that series.
I
in case
did.
You were wondering.
Was I the only one who took the Hawks in that series?
All right. It's not going to sit here.
I just want to know if that was the case.
How's your Phil Mickelson card doing? yeah. Jesse's actually looking in pretty good shape. We all had the Bucks. Jesse took Dallas. So the Bucks series, here's the only thing that's weird about the Bucks series to me is that, well, first of all, I thought Miami would win some games. Bam and Hero just did not show up the whole series. That was just strange. I thought they'd have one or two games where they would ball out. Nothing. Kendrick Nunn played well, but I don't know if that's somebody you need to invest in off season.
I've got his Top Shot card. It's doing really good.
We're going to talk about Top Shot. So that series obviously over. Milwaukee swept. They are moving on. I got the bracket up here because I don't ever remember who's playing. Oh, Milwaukee will play the Nets when the Nets beat. I think they're playing the Celtics tonight. They'll finish that series off.
Do you have any hard feelings about the Celtics losing right now or being behind, I should say?
No, I had no... When Jaylen Brown went out, I was like, well, they're not going to win it. First of all, they weren't coming out of the East. If Jaylen Brown's healthy, I think they beat the Nets one or two games this series. They already won one. They maybe win a second game. But the Nets are just so good offensively. When they want to score, they're ridiculous. Like I watched the other night, the Celtics would pull within like 15, and then KD would just take like two 35-foot jumpers in a row. His release point is 11 feet off the ground. Like,
oh, I think Nets win the whole thing, just to clarify.
I tell you, the Nets-Bucks series. So there has been a lot of talk, too. Hey, how come Durant prices haven't moved with the Nets doing this? Same thing we said a week ago. I don't think they're going to move. Maybe next series if they really go in and have just a crazy headline, like awesome game, drag-out battle with the Bucks. But what's weird is Giannis prices are way down too. The Giannis hoops card I bought at the show for $600 is like $450 to $500 right now. His hoops rookie PSA 10.
Really?
The market's just soft. I don't know. It just is what it is. I'll be honest with you. I don't have a ton of like great buy recommendations today because I think I'd like to see where things settle. I think baseball is the one sport that is the safest right now. Like Acuna
not
stuff.
Football?
No, because I think football, there's all this buildup until the season comes, and then we're going to see some things drop off, especially once guys take the field.
Okay.
But baseball, we're in that lull. Like people are excited about football because they're trying to get in early. Everybody's following the NBA. And like Acuna stuff is like way down. So I think Acuna, Tatis, good buys. Soto's been slumping for how good he is. I think there's a lot of good buys in the MLB. I think the Red Sox guys.
Vlad was going up for a little
Vlad
bit.
Vlad was going up, but not where he should based on performance. And yeah. I was messaging Steve Peralta today. My first message was, I don't even know if you have my number saved, which is always a fun conversation. But like Bobby Dalbec's finally raking a little bit. Devers is playing really well. I think we'll start to see the baseball movement the minute the NBA playoffs are done. I just think that's taking so much attention away. But yeah, so that's weird. Giannis stuff being that cheap after sweeping the Heat is strange.
Have you been checking Jaws stuff? That's what I wanted to get. I'm very curious.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that. I sold some Jaws cards today. They're down 3-1. Despite what Papa Vernon said, they would not lose one at home. Oof. Man, that Utah team shoots lights out. They're so stupid good, it annoys me. I mean, I have to think. So who does Utah play? Utah would play the 4-5 out west. So they'll play the winners of the Clippers and Mavericks.
Which that's going to be the Mavs, baby.
You hope so. That's 2-2. That's a weird series. If Luka loses that, not good for his cards. I thought if they could beat the Clippers, they had a shot against the Jazz. Jazz are really good. Mike Conley is so good, has zero hobby impact, so I wouldn't waste time with him. Rudy Gobert, same thing. Super talented, awesome on the floor. I think Spida. Donovan Mitchell, I think, is the one guy, which we've been talking about how he's too cheap anyways. I think he's one guy who you will see spike if they get to the Western Conference Finals. He is one of the biggest movers. I think it's going to be very selective, though. I thought a few weeks ago, everybody winning a series or two at the beginning would help. Now I think it's going to be a very selective spike.
The only thing with Donovan is just like, I haven't seen... Spida. I keep thinking... Spida, whatever. You haven't seen him go off like for more than, I think, 30 points was the most he's had in a game or something so far.
Yeah,
but
he takes over. He's also coming back from the ankle. And late in games, he just takes over. He's so good late, it's ridiculous. He makes it look effortless, too, when he scores. And then Conley, every time the Grizzlies kept getting close, Conley would hit like a step-back three.
He's clutch. That's what we call a clutch player.
So just like guys who I think are going to move out west, I think we'll see Mitchell start to move if they get past the second round.
Okay.
You know, the Clippers-Mavs series, not a lot of movement for any player in that series. Luka stuff had moved up a little bit after the first two wins. You lose two in a row after that, and he's not fully healthy now. I don't think guys are going to be buying it anymore in Luka. So I think, honestly, if you believe the Clips are just going to finish off that series and win 4-2, maybe 4-3, not the worst thing to sell Luka stuff now and free up the money going into the offseason for him, honestly.
So realistically speaking, any games anybody plays right now is probably not going to do much to their value.
I think the only thing we'll see value-wise is negatives. Like, I think if we see the Clippers... Well, that's tied 2-2. What's a better example? If we see the Grizzlies lose... I don't know if they're playing tomorrow night or if they are playing...
I think they play tonight.
Played last night, so they're not playing tonight. So it'll either be tomorrow or Thursday.
Tomorrow, 8:30.
So Wednesday... So, like, if you see them get eliminated, I think the biggest impact from that game would be... Not Donovan Mitchell prices going up from the win. I think the biggest difference in price the next day would be Ja Morant prices coming down. I actually sold a Prism PSA 10 today for $265. I thought, you know what? I've got a stack of stuff. I'm going to move some stuff off slowly. I sold that, and I sold a bunch of just lower grade, either lower graded or just cheaper brand gems in the Facebook group as well. I thought, just in case, I don't want to be sitting on all this stuff. That was kind of my plan, although after game one, I thought maybe they get weird and win.
So you just sold one or you sold a bunch?
I sold seven just cheap cards for $275 for the lot. I sold one Prism PSA 10 for $270 or $265, I think. I don't think we see a lot of movement, though, honestly. I think the negative movement will be the biggest impact there. Clippers, Mavs, if the Mavs come back and win, Luka will be the biggest mover in a positive direction. But I don't think you'll see Kawhi prices drop anymore or Paul George. Either way, Luka's the only mover. If they beat the Clippers, it's up. If they lose offseason, I think we'll see him dip some. The 3-6 matchup, just to go through some of these real quick, Joker's another guy. I think we need to see Joker get to the Western Conference Finals before there's any movement. And the fact that they got to play Lakers-Suns isn't great. And then Lakers-Suns, you know, Davis being injured. Do you have Anthony Davis news? Last I heard is they're not super, like, there was some useless quote, like, they're not super positive that he's going to come back for game five, which I don't know what that does for anybody. He's not been ruled out, correct?
Not official. It just says unlikely to play.
Yeah.
Not as good. 3 hours ago.
I keep waiting for LeBron to be playoff LeBron and go crazy, and it hasn't really happened yet. The one guy in that series I think could benefit the most, but it won't be just off winning one series, is Chris Paul. If Chris Paul could ever actually make a run, we had a lot of talk about that in the Facebook group and on Twitter this week. I'm sorry, guys were talking about him being underrated. He's not underrated. Most people consider him, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 best point guard of all time. He's never been to a finals. And then there's always a reason. Are they saying
underrated value-wise, though?
I mean, again, is he underrated value-wise? He's a point guard who's never won a big series. Like, what am I? How much value is he supposed to have? He sells pretty well. I mean, I just... And don't ever, somebody mentioned the other day, I'd take Chris Paul over Isaiah Thomas. What? Are you out of your head? Like, I don't, it's like saying I'm taller than Jesse. Just a ludicrous thought.
That's not true.
Isaiah Thomas' market is too soft. That's a guy who should, but everybody dislikes him. Isaiah Thomas, though, in the scheme of things, all time, not even close. Above Chris Paul. Like, let's take a breath. When MJ, Larry, and Magic agree, he's the best point guard not named Magic. What are we talking about here? Anyways. In that series, I need the Lakers to go on a run because I've got some big-time LeBron rookie stuff that I don't want to see. I bought that to hold longer term, but like long-term sure. Finals. I've been sitting on it for months now anyways. All right, moving on. We're done with that series. Let's go to the East real fast. Obviously, the Bucks are done. They're already in. Giannis is going to have to put up like 40 or 50 a game against the Nets like he did in the last couple regular season games. I think there is a scenario, though, where Giannis has monster stat lines and wins. I think they pushed the Nets 6 or 7. I did not think that team would gel as well as they have. Here's the thing. They've got defense, and the Nets don't. Giannis is great defensively. Drew Holiday is an unbelievable two-guard defensively. In that 2 to 3 guard, he can guard 1, 2, or 3, honestly. They're going to make it difficult for the Nets. I just think when the Nets play at their offensive clip that they can, they're unstoppable. They are just so good. It's ridiculous. So I think Giannis stuff, even if they don't win that series, I think there will be pockets along the next series. There'll be so much hype of Giannis and KD that we'll see him spike, even though I think the Nets win the series. As far as the Nets guys, Nets Celtics, Nets are obviously winning the series. Nobody spikes there until they go to the finals. Unless the Bucks thing gets weird and KD averages 48 or something. But he's been having a monster series right now. It hasn't affected prices. I don't think the Bucks series affects him. I think he needs to get to the finals. Top half of that bracket, Trae Young is a weird one. He has not moved at all against the Knicks. Do me another favor. Pull up Joel Embiid news. He left the game last night, and the Wizards ended up winning that game. He hurt his knee.
Yeah, I mean,
I know Philly hates... Everybody from Philly hates the show anyways, but that's what happens every year. Like, he's so good. I don't question his talent. I question his durability. Same way with Chris Paul. I just expect every year he's going to get hurt in the playoffs. Is there anything definitive on Joel Embiid's?
He's got an MRI today. Right knee soreness. Nothing official as of yet.
Looked weird when he came down. I actually thought he hurt his lower back, too. He got a bruised tailbone or something. He got whacked by Lopez. It wasn't even a foul. It was a clean block. But, you know, in that series, I don't think we see anything move a whole lot unless Washington. I don't think there's any way in the world they do it. But if you are just like this crazy Wizards fan, if they come back and win 3 in a row after last night, that would be weird. I mean,
are Philly there many crazy Wizards fans?
Sure.
I mean,
Gandalf? I don't know. Yeah, I mean, if the Wizards won that series, there would be some serious movement with Westbrook and Beal, I would think.
Okay.
Because then it's up in the air. Of those four teams, without a healthy Embiid, I think the Knicks obviously are gone. The Knicks are down 3-1, right, Ronick? Is that what the count is?
Yes.
Yes, it's definitely 3-1. Yes.
Thank you for reiterating that, Michael.
The Knicks are losing that series. Is that correct?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so Trae Young's going to win the series. His pricing, I was on Card Ladder this morning. By the way, if you haven't signed up for Card Ladder, all lowercase, that's not true. You just got to use the link on our website.
Link on the
sportscardsnonsense.com. You get 15% off. We like Card Ladder. I was using it today to pull up some SGC comps, which we'll talk about in a minute. We're going to do a little SGC talk today. Not a ton. That's going to be a big thing Thursday. Trae Young, I think, is still a solid buy if Embiid is out long-term. If Embiid is going to like miss the rest of the playoffs or something weird, I think the Hawks could win. They're going to beat the Knicks, and I think they could beat the Sixers or the Wizards without healthy Embiid. and that's when all of a sudden that young dude makes a run to the Eastern Conference Finals, I would have to think his pricing moves. But his Prism PSA 10s is still hovering just over 300. So
okay,
it's interesting. I don't know. I thought we'd have a lot more close series than we've had. And I thought that the Bucks winning was weird. So that's it. That's enough basketball
all right.
talk. Way playoff too talk. Long. Cut yeah. 30 minutes of that out. For sake. We'll do the exact same segment on Thursday. Don't you? You have something to talk about. You called me today. Said, hey, I've got some NFT Top Shot.
Okay, I didn't call stuff. You. I texted you. You know that.
Did you text me?
So just real quick, guys, I wanted to talk about the NFT market and how it relates to MLB and their own, I guess, Top Shot. Because so let's clarify. So Topps came out with their NFTs, but that is not the same as MLB coming out with their NFT, of course.
That's when we talked to Darren Revelle. That was a exactly. Topps NFT for baseball.
Exactly. So that was Topps doing their own thing, and they're going to continue to do their own thing. However, now MLB has partnered with, it's called Candy Digital.
That's from Fanatics, isn't it?
So Fanatics founder, what's his name? Michael Rubin. So he is, I guess, one of the people running this thing. I don't know, Mike Novogratz. He's into crypto. I'm not sure. I'm not really familiar with him as much. But your boy, Gary V, is also one of the people backing this thing. Here's my thinking, guys, and I don't know what everybody else's thoughts are on NFT right now. I'm not saying it's done. I'm just saying at this point in time, NFT has taken a huge slump. I think it's going to need something big to bring it back. And I think I'm not getting out of my MLB or my Topps Digital. It looks like it's kind of stabilized somewhere around, you know, from a once high portfolio of $1,500 down to $450 is where it's about right now.
65% loss, not terrible.
Not too bad for me.
That's fair.
I think the NFTs, no matter who's back in the company, I think we just need either another market to get into, like say, you know, kids all of a sudden start jumping in, or international market or something. But for the most part, I think that the winds have died down.
Are they releasing this like Topps Digital where it's packs?
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world. They just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
I don't know if it's PAX. This one is specifically going to... It looks like they're going to be more similar to Moments.
Okay, like the top. Whereas, which you still bought in kind of a pack setting, right?
Yeah, that's fair. They were, and so
I think these. I bet these will spike early.
Well, all of it does. Yeah. Like, I think if you get in,
right.
If you get in, and you can be one of the first people to actually get a pack and then resell, I would do it really quickly because I was thinking the same thing with the Topps. I was like, well, you know, I'm going to buy into the Topps Digital. I'm going to wait a little bit and then I'll sell. But I waited too long. And obviously those prices dropped significantly.
That shouldn't stop you.
No, I will also point out a little Top Shot update for all the guys still in on Top Shot and all the haters. I have a positive piece of news for Top Shot. I am finally able to withdraw my money.
Is some of that money mine? Wasn't that donated by a listener?
First off, they donated it to the show, and I am not withdrawing that money.
This is different money.
I'm saying I'm not withdrawing any of the money. It is all staying in there. And I've said this many times. All I ever wanted was to be able to take the money out. Now, it seems like they've finally gotten whatever kinks worked out. If you haven't been able to withdraw your money, now there's like some kind of check that you can go ahead and submit some verification of identity.
People still write checks?
No. Like a verification check. And
get some old lady in the back just signing checks. Like, what has happened in 1968?
I'm old. So now Top Shot is letting you get your money out.
Should have put your mask on for that quote.
Now we're able to actually do that. So there's a little NFT update. Again, I'm not, and I hate to say it because I was one of the ones who thought it was going to be really big. I'm not saying it's dead. I just think it's really, if you're going to get in, now's the time. There you go. Buy low, sell high. It's, I don't know how much lower it'll get right now.
Yeah. What's funny to me is it's low despite all the hype. So like the card market has started to dip and we've seen everybody pull away. Like I've talked about on the Facebook Live the other day. We don't have everybody reaching out to get on the show now. They're not everybody's launching like some new card thing, all these alternative investment type things. So the influencers have pulled away from the market and it's also just naturally dipped, right? What's weird about the NFT market is they have not pulled away from that. Like there is still as much press and hype there. I think the market itself is telling you, like, and I'm not saying it's dead. If it's like a unique creative piece, awesome. But this thing of just throwing out NFTs, I don't know.
The first one for MLB they're coming out with is like the Luckiest Man speech by Lou Gehrig. Like that's going to be the first moment or whatever they're going to call
relevant.
It.
Yeah, it's only 80 years old now.
Real, yeah, it is 80 years old. It is. I think it's more interesting than a card, I guess, that like Topps was doing. But I mean, I don't know how interested I'm going to be in, you know, getting that moment. I will say this, though. Gary Vee made a comment and I know you're going to appreciate it. But I actually
he's going to walk up to me at National and just punch me in the face.
And we you have our approval, Gary. Go right ahead. Give him that sock.
Doesn't end well for him. Giddy up.
Stop. I'm threatening kidding. Guests.
This wasn't a threat. All right.
No, that was
a compliment.
You think he'll come back comment. On the show? He said his hope is that Candy basically does to MLB like FIFA did to the soccer game or the soccer world. So FIFA came out with the video game and it kind of like accelerated the hype behind football here in America. They're hoping this does something for the baseball card industry or at least MLB in general, because MLB is just, as we've talked about, they don't do much promotion. It's kind of like, you know, historically speaking, it's more of the boring of the three major sports. And they're hoping this kind of starts to hype that up a little bit. And so who knows?
You need my quote again about golf and MLB?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
You're not ready for it. No.
No. No.
Even this is funny to me, though. So they're going to come up with this Top Shot moment, right? First release, Lou Gehrig.
It's topical.
I'm
you know
not
why.
Saying it's he's an all-time great, like Murderer's Row, best team of all time, Yankee.
That's he has a what, disease named after him.
That's what you come up with, though? Like, why wouldn't this be like a, if you're going to go for that market, why wouldn't this be like a Jeter moment that people actually recognize?
Okay, you're making a lot of really good points. That's fair.
I don't make those often either. Like, I don't, I had the joke early, which is, you know, well, and then I had this, that's it.
To say this is that's the first one they're doing. I think they're going to have a few different things coming out. So who knows? Maybe it'll be a lot more relevant in the other moments. But yeah. Oh, hey, this day in history, Lou Gehrig started his 2000 game winning streak as of today's game in 1925.
There's first of all, no one's ever had a 2000 game
not winning,
winning streak.
Not winning. 2,130 consecutive games.
Iron Man. Sorry. Started, right. He yeah. started that many. And then, of course, that got passed by Cal Ripken Jr.
Of course.
Do you know who that is or no? You ever heard of that?
Yes. Okay. Come on. I've at least heard of Cal Ripken Jr.
All right. You've heard of Lou Gehrig too, right? Obviously.
Yes, of course. Okay. Yes. God.
Okay. I forget I'm talking to educated Jesse now.
You know what? Whatever. I'm just saying I knew that his name before
I ever did this. We got to get serious. We had two cool endorsements.
We got to get serious. Let's start the podcast.
Endorsement sponsorship deals on our other socials, which I think are pretty cool. When they happen over there, we talk about it on the podcast. SGC Grading and yes. Whatnot, the app.
Whatnot?
Whatnot. So Whatnot is an app. It's free to download. It's literally just like a 24-hour live stream. You can jump around from room to room. People sell singles. They sell wax, all that different stuff.
They sell Dragon Ball Z cards.
They do. Pokemon, sports cards, everything.
It's not just sports cards.
Yeah, there's a ton of open rooms, literally 24 hours a day. All payments are processed right through the site. I'm going to be live on there as soon as these guys respond to my email. Hey, Whatnot? Two things.
Well, don't.
One thing. I need to be approved to have a room so I can go in there and sell some stuff and yap with Jesse. When I do that, by the way, you're going to be with me. We're doing this live
sure.
together.
Yeah.
I think it's a cool platform just because their kind of goal is, hey, let's take some attention away from eBay. It's live. And when you if you win an item, like if someone does a live auction and you win an item, you have to pay. You experience
yeah.
this. You have to
yeah,
pay.
It's there's it's no, a flat $350 charge.
Yeah, there's no retracting bids or walking away. They're also doing huge numbers. They had, and I told us when we sat down, did our Zoom call with them. I was like, man, they approached us a few months ago about like getting involved with the show. I was like, I've never heard of you guys. There's a lot of banter about these guys now. They're actually doing some huge numbers. So I was actually kind of
they got that $50 million in funding.
It's super active. So we're gonna do a live over there at some point, kind of have some fun with that. The other one, we had a sit down with SGC, the grading company. That's gonna be our grading guys going forward. PSA is still closed for at least another month. Nash Cards is back on with us as an SGC subgroup grader. Better pricing than the other. The YouTube guy had $29. Nash is 27, and he's hoping to be down to 25 in a couple weeks. So hopefully that happens this week, actually. Now, we're going to talk about this a lot more on Thursday, because as soon as I announced this in the Facebook group and all other Instagram, Twitter, all that, SGC is terrible. Okay, couple things. First off, yeah, and I told Peter the same thing, because we had also reached out to PSA. PSA was going to come on board, but wanted to be like exclusive. Doesn't make any sense to me to be exclusive. I think PSA is valuable and viable in a lot of areas still. I think SGC is viable in a lot of options. So I would never just say go with one and never go with the other. That's ridiculous to me, and I wasn't going to do it. So, and I want to get Peter on the show. Peter's the president of SGC. I don't even know Peter's last name, actually. And you kept calling him Pete. I don't know how he feels about that.
He likes Pete. No, he goes by Pete.
Does he?
What's
his last name?
Pete.
You know?
I don't want to talk about that because I don't know how to pronounce it.
Oh, I don't even know what it is. So Pete's going to come on the show. We're not going to do the walkthrough like Sports Car Investor did. He already did the whole thing where you walk through his... he walks through the operation, sees everything. They have been legit and recognized with Vintage Forever. And basically on Thursday, we're going to have a lot of just actual comparisons in price, because there is this thought out there like, hey, it's not worth it. I'm just going to save for PSA. Here's the quick 2-minute segment I'm going to do on this, then we're going to be done.
Ooh.
So
Pete Steinberg, by the way.
How could you not pronounce that?
Yeah, I thought it was a different
name. John Steinbeck. Got it. So right now, if you look in the Facebook group, we had at least 30 posts this week of guys getting cards back in hand in less than 2 weeks.
Yep.
Does SGC sell for the same as PSA? No. Newsflash, it doesn't. And everybody thought this was like some unbelievable unveiling statement when they commented, like, hey, I'm just going to wait for PSA. Numbers are a thing I'm interested in. I'm not very good at them, but I like numbers. You want to submit to PSA right now? First of all, you can't. They're not even going to be open until July 1st. And even then, I have no idea what's going to open up again. But for you guys who buy and sell and flip and make money in this hobby, you cannot make money with PSA right now, unless it's super high end. And I stand by this, despite the fact that we've partnered up with SGC. If you pull a super high end card and want to go PSA right now for $300, I don't fault you at all. Go nuts. If you want to PSA a card because it's going in your vault forever and you like the look of their holder better, fine. I'm not telling you not to. I'm just saying this, if the amount of people in this hobby who buy and sell and flip, which is the majority now, that's not even arguable, the amount of money you can make with SGC makes way more sense financially than any other play right now. For $30 a card, or $27 if you use Chris, nashcards.com, you can make a bunch of money. SGC 10s right now. So I just pulled up a couple. We're going to have way more because I don't want people making this claim, oh, you're pulling just one random thing. Literally, the only one I pulled up today because I wanted to see it was the Acuna 2018 update. That PSA 10, by the way, at $170, straight cash homie. There you go. I don't have any other straight cash homie for the week. I'm not going to have Jesse say it this week. It's not the time. It's not the place.
We're not in the right frame of mind, people.
I think that's a great buy for $170. So, like, just to give you some idea of pricing, a BGS 9.5 of that card. This is according to Card Ladder. Use the link, Card Ladder. You can save money on our website, blah, blah, blah. I'm done with that. Plug. Anyways, I'm on Card Ladder right now.
Card Ladder.
The 2018 Topps update, Ronald Acuna. Value right now is about $150. It's a little under that. $149.03 is the average of the past few sales.
Okay.
It's not even worth it for you to send a BGS then, because it's going to cost you that much to get the stinking card graded with Beckett. Beckett, not even viable right now. The only reason I would use Beckett is if you have a thick patch auto, you're going to hold forever. Great. All right. But here's the real thing. So the PSA 10 compared to the SGC 10. Now, there's also an SGC 10 gold label, but I would not recommend comping off that, because that's like trying to comp off a black label. Super hard to get, almost unattainable, as it should be. If you get that, it's just house money anyways. But an SGC 10 compared to a PSA 10. Now, people want to tell me, well, this is way harder to get than a PSA 10. Not if you've looked at what the group sub guys are saying across the country right now. PSA has been brutal with numbers. We got a bunch of mailbag questions.
Yeah, I was going to...
I don't even need it. We're going to address it right now because we got 80 questions about this.
Okay.
The number of PSA 9s compared to 10s right now is way higher. Guys who I've used for years are telling me they're getting crushed, getting like 20% on PSA 10s. Are they doing that to regulate pop count? I have no idea. I just know it's brutal. I think you have a better chance with the same card of getting an SGC 10 than a PSA 10. Not because SGC doesn't grade as difficult. I just think right now, for whatever reason, PSA is, I don't know, they are cracking down big time. So the update, again, this is just one card. So yeah, you can call it an outlier, call it whatever you want. I do not care. We're going to have more examples. Right now, an update PSA 10 is doing about $177. That SGC update 10 is doing like $160 to $165. Last sale was $180, which is a little bit higher. But what
Wait,
I did
the know, SGC is selling for more than the PSA?
Right now. Now, that is not to say that
I thought you were just going to do like, oh, it's really close type of thing.
No, that is not to say across the board, you will see a PSA 10 still outsells an SGC 10. I'm not making that claim. But I also know the few cards we've been tracking. So we've had Indy on this. We had a couple guys email the show. I'll give them their proper shout outs because we got a nice email. We got a guy on Facebook who did some cards for us. The trend is SGC 10s are moving up. SGC 9.5s are very comparable in a lot of areas to a PSA 10, which I don't have any issue with either. If I'm submitting to SGC, I want to get an SGC 10, not a 9.5. Point being, if you're going to sub and get cards back in 2 weeks, you can sell those cards and go back and redo this whole process over the course of...
many more times than you could have if you went with
so
PSA.
So say, best case scenario, PSA opens up bulk level service again at $25 to $30 a card on July 1st. So from today to when you get those cards back is going to be a minimum of 13 months. You cannot tell me in any scenario you're going to get bulk orders back in less than a year, and it's not even going to be open for another month. 13 months at best. You know how many times I can buy and sell cards at SGC and flip them in 13 months? It just makes sense to me. Again, you pull a $5,000 LaMelo and you want to go to PSA for the $300 level right now? No problem. But if you have nice vintage, ask vintage guys. They love SGC and they always have. Now, that doesn't mean they don't like PSA. I like PSA as well. But I'm telling you, the ultra modern play, Sports Card Investor talked about it. I've seen SGC advertising on their own. They're the only people in the space really making a push at it, which is cool. We're going to be talking about now, not because I'm getting paid, although it doesn't hurt, but because we talked to them. There's a reason we've reached out to them.
Yeah.
I think it is the best play in the hobby right now for grading. And I think it's going to draw a lot of attention. As much as you're seeing their name out there now, and as much as we saw at the Wisconsin show, guys talked all about them at the Dallas, like there was a ton of slabs at the Dallas show. I think we're going to see their comps. In general, though, just because that Acuna is an outlier, in general, and we'll get specific on Thursday's show, the numbers we saw were about 65 to 70%, a PSA 10 to an SGC 10.
Mm-hmm.
So you're leaving 30% off the table over the course of a year difference in return time. There's a lot of stuff that makes sense to me. I don't say blindly. I'm not telling you to just do it off of our, you know, recommendation. Do your research. I'm just telling you they're trending up, and I think there's a reason they are, and I'm happy to see it. So you seem like you had something interesting to say.
No, I was just going to say that was a very good, concise 2 minutes that you were going to spend on. No, because we are going to talk more about it next on Thursday's episode, but I think bottom line is, the amount of people that are now considering SGC as a viable source, and that number seems to only be increasing, it seems to me that even if I wanted to get this graded and I didn't sell it right away, and I say the guy's value dropped in a week or something, I think you're seeing SGC values in people's perception of the grader's respectability. It's only going to go up.
I think so. Yeah, I agree.
Unless something changes, and it would have to be major, I think they are the one that the rest of the industry is saying, you know, this is the next PSA or the next BGS or whatever the case may be.
To put in perspective too, I think SGC is making a legitimate claim right now of being the number two. And that's what Peter told us. He's not saying, hey, this advertising, this push we're making is going to put us to PSA's level. But that number two spot is super valuable. And to me, that's where they're putting themselves. My last point about this would be, by the way, Steve on Facebook, Jesse, that's who I shared that Excel spreadsheet with. I shared it with you. We'll talk about that one Thursday. The last point I would make is, times are uncertain right now. In a year from now, what does the card market look like? Everybody hates base and all this other stuff right now. In a year, do you have confidence that when your cards come back from PSA, they're going to be... Another reason to me, you just take that out of the equation, get them back in a couple weeks. So More coming on Thursday, specific examples. I don't want you to think, I literally just put in the Acuna because I thought that was like the most generic card. But we'll have, and we're going to use Star Stock as well, because there's an awesome comparison on Star Stock of a lot of these cards also. So Star Stock and Card Ladder. Card Ladder, the link's on our website. Star Stock, just go sign up and put all lowercase, the word nonsense. You get 10 bucks for free. So just make 80,000 different accounts.
Yep.
80,000 times 10 is a lot more.
They encouraged that.
800,000. There you go. That's really good. What they want to see. All right, done.
All right. Mailbag. No, new releases you wanted to talk about, right?
I don't even want to talk about them now. I like Topps Finest. They come out, so it comes out tomorrow. 2021 Topps Finest and Absolute Baseball. I think those are both tomorrow. They could be Friday. I didn't look that well. I like Absolute from the standpoint that it's a cheaper product. It's Panini, so there's no licensing, no logo. But they actually have like a bunch of cool jumbo patches, really good checklist. You get a ton of hits, ton of autos, ton of numbered stuff. For the price, I don't mind Absolute. We're going to break some of that on Geo Breaks tomorrow. Eddie's going to be breaking some of those. I don't know if he's breaking. He's not breaking Absolute. And you know what? Come to think of it, I am off. There's no way that. Go to the release calendar.
Okay.
Do you have that handy or no?
I'm pulling. No, I don't have it ready, but I mean.
There's no chance those. I'll get it. Hang on here. Breaking out the keyboard.
All right, guys, it got serious. Mike actually does not use a keyboard typically. He just clicks around.
I use my ESP. This is the these come out Friday.
Okay. We are off the rails.
So Topps Finest is Friday. I like Finest. Finest usually grades out really well. The rookie class, you know, average. You got a couple of good names. And Absolute is also. So that's all on Friday, not tomorrow. I take it back. I'll have some of both, actually. I had Eddie ship me cases of both so I can actually do some ripping. I'm excited. I like ripping. I have fun with it. By the way, we talked about Leaf Metal last week. We hit the 101 Trevor Lawrence auto out of Leaf Metal, which was pretty cool.
Dang.
Guy named Kenny C. I got to think that's a $1,000 plus card.
What was the card you guys pulled last week? Eddie pulled last week?
He pulled the one. Yeah, we posted this on our social out of Flawless. Eddie pulled the 101 booklet NFL logo patch auto of Joe Burrow.
That's insane to me.
I think that's going to be, I honestly think 25 to 35,000. It's insane. Justin B hit that. Bosak's a beast. That guy
is that more great. Like, is that only valued once it's graded or
no? You sell it as is because you just with sell Flawless. It comes in a magnetic holder. It's sealed with Flawless seal. You sell it as is. That's a monster card. Stupid nice card, dude. Eddie,
so that's what you guys are going to be pulling this week. That sounds good.
Yeah, even out of the There's baseball, we're pulling Joe Burrow patch autos. All right, that's it for that. I don't have anything else to say. Go to Facebook. There's a couple things I just want to hit on. I sent you random pictures.
Yeah.
What do we got in
there? Yeah, you sent me a lot. So,
this is a show prep day. I just sent a bunch of random pictures.
Where do you want to start? The first or the last?
Oh, the eBay thing.
Yes.
This eBay bid being, I guess, did you read that?
Yeah. So I thought they were already doing this. Maybe it's so just if you that they talked about it.
If you want to retract your bid, the seller has to approve it. Is that basically? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
but
you
then
can't retract your bid.
But here's my problem with that. If a guy's going to be a donkey enough to retract a bid, nobody's going to do it if he
wins
it.
He's not
going to
pay.
She's not going to pay. I don't know that does anything. I want to see eBay follow this up with, if you have two unpaid things in a month, like unpaid strikes, you're gone.
Well, just because all it said was like, there can be negative consequences if you regularly miss payments.
You can't leave negative feedback. Here's some negative feedback for that clown show of a company. You can't leave negative feedback on a buyer anyways. And I can't get anybody at the company to respond to anyone here. maybe we could send you a, if you want to check our latest press releases. No, I'd like to speak to a human. Come on the show and tell us why you're so terrible in this space.
Stop. Clowns. Please don't.
They are brutal. Absolutely. No. You're lucky I was that easy on them. They're brutal.
They're doing a great
job. They're not doing a great job. I hope every other selling platform takes off.
Back on the reins. Next one.
The Kyrie thing was weird. Did you see this Kyrie story?
I keep seeing all of this stuff like happening with fans in the audiences like attacking or doing
something.
So
the Westbrook thing was, Westbrook was just leaving. This was game two. Ronick, he might know. Was it game two when Westbrook was leaving, the guy just dumped popcorn on his head?
Oh, yeah.
Ronick might have checked out by this point.
It was either two or three.
Guy just like dumped popcorn. I mean,
I saw that. That guy got a lifetime ban from the arena, but still.
From the NBA too. I think he got banned from the NBA in general, which I hope he does.
Oh, really?
Ridiculous. Westbrook did nothing, right?
Yes.
Now, of course, here comes my bias, Boston.
I know. I know. I can't.
I heard the Kyrie thing.
The fact that you're doing this for a Boston fan.
So when I heard the Kyrie thing, I was like, this is a joke. Now, he's getting charged with assault and battery with a deadly
tell him
weapon.
What happened.
Well, yeah. So as Kyrie was leaving the arena after game four, a guy threw a water bottle. Didn't hit him. Threw the water bottle. Now, if this happens, throw him in jail for the weekend, right? No problem. you know, publicly shame the guy. He should be banned
from the game. Yeah.
Oh, banned from NBA and sports in general. I would love to see every sport say you can never come to a sporting event. I would love that.
That'd be awesome. I mean, here's the other,
the two things though. And none of this justifies what he did. You throw a bottle, you're a donkey.
Yep.
Getting charged with assault and battery with a deadly weapon. So my question is this. So now when guys in a game, if there's a fight in the game and somebody throws a fist, does that mean they're getting charged, like an athlete's going to get charged in the heat of the moment, heat of the game? And the only reason now obviously it's a little different, but here's the thing that was not reported originally. And
that
I saw
water could have been in ice form. It could have been hard as a rock.
Was it Dasani, Aquafina? It depends on the brand.
We need to know.
The reason though, I am not shocked this happened and this didn't get reported as much. He went out and stomped all over the logo as he was leaving. At least that's what I read. He went out and stomped on the Celtics logo.
Oh, I did hear
that. Does not justify a water bottle being thrown. Yeah. But if you do something dumb like that, you can expect something's going to happen. It doesn't justify it.
Boston. They've got Boston, New York, passion. LA.
If you've got a like this year when the Ravens stomped all over the Titans emblem when they won the playoff game.
Oh yeah,
there was a
yeah.
scrum at the end of the game. Yeah, you did something. I mean, you shouldn't have done it. Does not justify it, but I do think it's funny. And charging this guy with assault and with a deadly weapon. I would like to know
that case gets thrown out.
Although I say that, actually, I'm glad he's got to miss a day of work and get arraigned and get taken in. Good.
There you go.
Don't throw water bottles. But Kyrie, don't stomp all over the logo as you're leaving the arena either. Then, if you don't do that, this probably doesn't happen.
You know what? That was a very two-sided, well done argument, Mike. Yeah. You weren't biased at all.
Great job. Can just imagine this kid too. I saw the guys he was leaving. He's like all smiles. He's wearing a Bill Russell jersey, first of all, which I like.
You know him.
You know
is
this
our
kid.
Boss?
I threw the water bottle. What of it, guy? Yeah, I didn't even hit it. He stomped on the logo. You dance on the leprechaun. I throw water. Like this kid is the most happy he's ever been in his life.
Did your Boston accent just turn into like a?
This is the proudest this kid has ever been in his life. I'm telling you that right now. Okay, we're done. Next pick. What else did I say?
We already talked about Embiid. The next one was
weird, man.
So what was the deal with the Wayne Gretzky photo you sent me?
Sold for $3 million. PSA 10.
Yeah, but I thought we talked about that.
All right, next picture. I don't
remember. Yeah, all right, there we go. All right.
Hey, two other things from another company we work with. PCSportsCards.com. Make sure you check them out. They do grading. They do consignment is their big thing, though. This sale made me like want to punch myself in the face.
Okay.
So first year Prism, 2012 Prism. PSA 9, not even gem mint, gold, sold for $5,277. Was it Michael Jordan? Was it LeBron? Maybe Kobe? No.
I know all of them.
It was Sean Kemp.
I have a theory. It's because Dennis Rodman is also in the photo, and that's why that card value.
You think the worm is the reason that this... Okay.
That could be
and it got paid for. I talked to Josh this morning. Got paid for record price.
What do people know that we don't know? Now, they're spending that kind of money.
I don't know. But now here's what was funny. It was a record price realized. I should ask Josh, what's the record price here? I don't know what that means. For a Sean Kemp card?
I think it just means like for that specific card, a PSA 9 of Sean Kemp going for
$5,277. That's insane. That 2012 Prism set is nuts. Unbelievable rookie class. It's ridiculous. Speaking of PC sports cards, so they are doing their sale. They're doing their big end of the month sale. It starts... June 14th and ends the 24th through the 27th. They're doing like their high-end, big-time auction. They've got some monster pieces there, so they're going to be promoting that event. They've got a red Otani up right. They've got some monster pieces up there now, but they're doing that big thing. So if you want to consign, I actually looked at the rates today. By the way, a lot of guys are getting hit with like 17% fees on eBay now, 15 to 17%, and then they're having to pay sales tax. Just consign your cards.
Wait, 17% in fees on eBay?
Depending on your rating now and if you promote your listing or not, it's higher fees.
What?
This is why I do not sell on eBay myself. I just pay these guys to do it. I think $100 card or over, it's like a 15% fee or a 14% fee. Take it. Now, some people would say, well, I only pay 13%. I got news for you. For 1% and I don't have to ship my own cards or list them, and I probably get more views with PC, I'm out. Have fun. I'll list the card.
I think that's the big thing is like people actually trust and they know like I'm going to go to this place specifically to look for cards rather than just search like randomly. So, all right. Is it time?
Has it been 45 minutes?
Ronick, you were supposed to let us know.
He didn't even answer the wizard popcorn thing. He's done. He set an alarm clock to wake up in an hour. All right, go ahead. What is it? Mailbag?
Mailbag.
Let's do a
first
bunch.
Question. Yeah, let's hit them hard.
Our old friend, EJ Sports Cards, who, EJ Sports Cards is a father and son team. They're very nice guys. He messages me a lot.
Oh, yeah, EJ's a good guy. I don't need a 45-second buildup to every question.
I just want to say, he messages me a lot. Very, just nice, encouraging things. Very cool guy.
I would encourage you to read quicker. Get to the question.
You know what? When you're on your little rants, I'm not over there saying, get on with it.
So still haven't got to that question. We get that question sooner. Hey, the boys went swimming. I forgot my puppy update. My dogs went swimming for the first time this week.
Oh, really?
They did okay. Give him a little nudge.
Yeah.
I say that. Brady fell in. Brady jumped into a pool last year. He was okay, but he was little. Okay. Brady can swim. Griffey didn't know what to do. That's it. Puppy talk. I'm going to the park after we finish recording this, so let's go.
Okay.
Mailbag.
Batters are striking out more. Lots of no-hitters so far this season. Does this put a premium on pitchers?
No. Next.
No, really? No. Even with even all these Jacob no-hitters?
DeGrom, even Jacob DeGrom, whose ERA is like negative right now. No. I mean, on their select big rookie stuff, maybe. But aside from that, people hate pitchers. That market hasn't changed yet, sadly.
Okay.
Thanks, EJ.
I was hoping that was going to be something interesting, but apparently
maybe I'm missing a bunch of data, but I don't think it's the case yet.
Okay. There's a lot of SGC questions in here. Actually,
that's why we talked about. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Besides cards getting cheaper, is there a reason why true collectors who only buy what they plan to keep should care about the downward trend or crash in the market?
No,
I don't think there's a crash.
First of all, I don't think the market's crashing. Second of all, if you're keeping your cards anyways, long term, and you're probably out buying right now like I've been doing. I bought more PC cards in the last month than ever in my life. No, it doesn't affect you. You're not selling. What does it matter?
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. With prices being lower. You know what? I haven't been given names. Guys, I feel sorry. Justin Durant from the Facebook. With prices being lower overall now than they were a few months ago, do you think wax will follow it all? Or is it just going to remain normal for sealed product to stay so high?
I think basketball wax we've seen come out at a cheaper price. I think that's going to continue because we're heading into the offseason for the rookies at least. So yeah, I don't think basketball is going to come out as strong. Baseball's come out pretty strong across the board this year. You know, I mean, Absolute's going to come out and be relatively cheap and stay that way. Absolute's not going to take off. But like Topps Finest, I think Finest is going to come out fairly expensive and stay. And football wax, you're just not going to touch it. I mean, football wax is going to be expensive. It's an unbelievable quarterback-heavy, top-loaded prospect class. Football wax is going to be insane. And the single side of football, though, justify that.
Okay, I think that's a fair point. I would like to ask a question now that I think we've answered before. And
is this your question?
Is it Jesse? No. This is a legit question, but it seems so familiar to me, but I don't remember the answer. So we're going to ask Daniel Bellevue's question. Are championship years a good investment other than players' rookie cards?
It can be.
Specifically,
yeah, like Brady is a good
example.
Kind of a perfect storm. First year, championship, sure. We saw this for years with vintage. The Maris card, the year he hit 61 home runs, spike in his cards. If there's a big significant event, I think long term, it tends to hold a little bit of value there. Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. So I have a card that I'm considering for grading that isn't showing up on pop reports for any major card grading company. Would no pop make you more or less likely to send it in? That's from Dave Greger from Facebook.
How is there no pop if you own the card? There's at least a population of one, right?
No. He's saying like if there's no pop, it just means it hasn't been graded. Because goes by grading.
Oh, I thought he said it was graded. I mean, it means it's obviously a scarce card or it's a piece of crap card. And that's why nobody's graded it. It's like a 50-cent card. If it's a nice card, which I'm assuming this is. I mean, yeah, it means nobody has. It's rare. I love rarity in cards. Absolutely.
Except, I mean, yeah, but like what if it's garbage? Like what if you, I mean, there's got to be some rules to that. Like if it's some guy's like just middle of nowhere.
It's some backup second, you know, some... single A second baseman base card that never did anything. Well, the reason he's not graded, it's never been worth it. Dylan Brooks has a crazy low pop count because he's never been relevant until the playoffs this year. But if this is like a patch auto or just a card of a significant player, even a base card, if this was like a LeBron James anything, base card, whatever, and there was like a no pop, it would tell me it's probably because it's an SP of some kind, a short print of some kind.
I would also point out, just maybe double check that there is no pop because... As someone who's looked up a lot of pop counts as of the recent
I would also
months,
check eBay for the card.
Yeah, like sometimes I miss it.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
All right. Jacob Schneider.
I love Facebook.
Do you see a resale value in the Topps Project 70? Basically, he thought that it would be going up, but right now on eBay, it's selling for about what they were selling from Topps.
Seems like the only ones that sell really well are the numbered ones. Like the base, I don't think are going to ever take off. I think the numbered stuff does pretty well.
You need some kind of scarcity of it.
Blake Jameson would know that, our buddy the artist.
Oh, Blake. Blake, I hope you're listening. Let us know if
you're
good. I
like Blake. He's been good to us.
Oh, yeah.
Next.
Harris Decker. What effect, if any, do you think a weak MLB rookie class is having on the market? Robert Lewis, and to a lesser extent, Bo and Lux drove the 2020 market.
Oh, last year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm not sure who you're chasing it for rookies in this year's product. I haven't paid as much. We're just starting to see products come up with actual rookies, not be real prospect heavy. So in terms of big name rookies, that's a good question. That is an interesting question. I mean, like,
so it's something we're going to do more research on? Or?
Well, yeah, we will for sure. I mean, here's what could totally change that by the end of the year. And this isn't a direct answer because I'm not super well read up on rookies right now like I should be. I'm just blanking.
That's kind of surprising.
Yeah. I mean, like Nick Madrigal is a rookie in a lot of stuff. Not a ton of hype. Joe Adell, I think, was a rookie in a lot of stuff last year. So not a ton of hype there, although he's crushing the ball. But one thing that's going to change at the end of the year, Kalenic is going to start being a rookie in some of these products, I would think, toward the end of the season because he got called up early. If Wander gets called up in the next couple of weeks, does his stuff all of a sudden become rookie in a lot of these products? It could change. As of right now, though, the fact that no rookies are just jumping off the page at me, like I said, I'm sure I'm missing somebody, but it's not nearly as strong as last year. I guess it's having an effect a little bit, but the baseball market's pretty strong overall, so it's not having like this tremendous effect. So, you know, that's his is a reasonable take, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe not as great. Jimmy Maharis, and this is a kind of like a, I like this question, but it's kind of conspiracy theory-ish. Do you think influencers are letting the market tank so that they can buy more at cheap prices so they can dump the market again and cash out again?
No, I think influencers are just lazy and opportunistic for the most part. They see a market taking off, so all of a sudden everybody was a card guy, right? Like everybody came out of the woodwork. We're collecting cards. It's going to be on my vlog. And this, yep. I think now that not everything just doubles overnight, because the market's in a dip, we don't see them because they don't have any real knowledge of what's going on for the most part. There are some.
That's a good point.
There are some that do. Like Gary Vee, I like to make fun of at this point. Gary Vee is obviously knowledgeable about the card market. You know, the fact that he's not talking about it right now is weird to me, though. But he has knowledge in the field. But there are a lot of other guys who came out and had this big following, and we saw the name on headlines. You know why they're not? Because they don't want to be proved wrong. They don't want to say, hey, buy this, or this is great. And they look at the trend in the market, it's trending down, and they get nervous. They don't know what to do, so they don't say anything.
Yeah.
I think that's the majority of them.
That's typically what I do. That's why I don't talk whenever we have a guest on. Yeah, I just let you guys talk.
Yeah, like for me, though, I would rather, I don't know. That's why we do what we do. There are still pockets to be made in this market right now, despite things being in a dip. You just have to do a little bit more research and actually have an idea of what's going on and what could take place. But you can't just walk into the space now and buy 10 cards and all 10 go up.
I would say bottom line, listen to people that historically you've trusted and seem to know what they're talking about. To that point, and I kind of wanted to mention this earlier, but I said too many nice things about Gary Vee. I didn't know how you were going to react.
That was
but
nice.
The thing is, Gary has often been right in a lot of his calls. And the fact that he's still been pushing NFTs despite what we've seen in the market still makes me wonder if there's still a world for NFTs. So I just want to say that. I'm just going to go on record.
I'm not going to say no. He's obviously a very intelligent guy.
He's been right a lot. All right. Next question.
Yeah.
Alex Trutman, back to the Ja questions. Will you be buying Ja Morant in the offseason? If so, when should I look to buy this offseason?
In the next 2 or 3 months, I will look to buy. I will not just buy, like I just bought obscene amount of base PSA 10s across the board. Prism and a bunch of other brands, like hundreds. It was ridiculous this year because the base was the hot play. In the offseason, if his prices come down, I will buy, but I will be buying short print, hard to find, low numbered stuff. When? A lot of it depends. I'm not in a rush to do it. It's going to be a long offseason. I don't think you rush to do it. I want to see what the market does. Once I see things start to kind of settle across the card plane, though, then I'll start to look at, hey, what can I buy a gold prism or a blue, whatever, numbered stuff and more exclusive than just straight base. Although I won't shy away from Bass either. If Bass really starts to tank in the offseason and they drop below $200, I'd buy those again in a heartbeat.
So you're not dead on.
I'm not,
you're not
actively
out.
Looking though, like right now. But
you're not completely
once the,
out.
Right. Once the time comes, yeah, what's some numbered stuff? Some low numbered patch autos. Okay, I'll take a shot again. I've been buying Tua's up though. Tua again. I finally landed some nice Tua's. I landed a gold standard triple patch auto to 25 and a National Treasures jumbo booklet patch auto. I paid like, what did I pay? $890 for both. I'm telling you, I'm all in. I got a couple thousand.
$890,000?
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Because you have to clarify when you say numbers, you don't know for sure.
$890. I've probably got, honestly, maybe $5,000 total in Tua. Because I can't find him for the pricing I want to find him in. But I still think he's a great buy.
Which would mean that people are buying him because his price is up more than you'd like it to be.
Zippity doodah. Zippity day.
I don't like this next question.
Oh, read it. That means I'm going to.
No, I don't like it because I'm just now seeing it. I think I skipped over it.
Read it.
John C. Lauriati.
It's the guy who took a shot at you. I saw
Jesse,
this one.
AKA Kramer. I thought I was Jerry. Should I buy Bitcoin today?
Wait a minute.
Whatever your answer is, I will go opposite.
I think he means Jim Cramer. Not because Kramer was Simmons in the show.
Oh, okay. That makes a little bit more sense.
We're not talking about it. Although, what is this? We haven't done a crypto
I like this
update.
Thank you. Now I will sit down.
John's good people. Actually, crypto's down. It's under 26 again. It hit 28.50 yesterday. Ethereum. Yeah. That's the other thing, guys. If you're going to make fun of us, it has to be about Ethereum. We don't buy Bitcoin. We never owned Bitcoin, actually.
And again, as I mentioned earlier in the show, I pushed Doge. I did not push Bitcoin. I'm sorry. I'm getting worked up.
Ham in Ethereum still.
I am too. I'm not saying I'm not. I'm just saying I didn't push it. All right, John. And so that being said, to answer your question, I would not buy Bitcoin right now. I would wait because I think it's going to. I saw this. There's a interesting investment strategy that big hedge funds use that ultimately we're seeing play out as we speak. And what that means is if it continues in this pattern, you're going to see it dip even more before it starts going back up. But the good news is it would go back up. So that being said, go your opposite. Go buy in now.
Do whatever you want to do, John. Weiss just sent me this picture. It's a John Stockton quote. I remember as a rookie, Larry Bird walked by our bench and said, I feel like 43 tonight. Then he came out, scored 43 by the third quarter and checked himself out. That's Larry legend for you. There you go.
Who sent you that?
Jeff Weiss.
Oh, God.
That made my day. Anything Larry, because I'm just a biased Boston fan.
If you guys want a shout out on the show, just send Mike Leary quotes. All right.
You know Barry what? Kramer. One other quick note. I need to buy some. In the new house, I'm going to have a lot more wall space. I want a nice framed, like a real nice photo that's autographed by Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain.
Has your wife agreed to this yet?
Yeah.
Does she know that you're going to be hanging this up?
I have my space there. I also would like a 90s All-Star autographed picture.
Okay.
There you go.
So
I want to buy some nice memorabilia for the wall. I've got this stuff for the office, but I'm going to have some play space downstairs I'm excited about. Go ahead.
All right, before we run out of time here, I'm going to jump over to the Geo Breaks Q&A section and see. All right, let's see. How would you describe the current baseball market from Joel Brand?
Oh, yeah, Joel. So
I like your comment, though. You just said ticklish.
What's the opposite of trickle? Tickle.
Tickle.
I like Joel. He's a good guy. Overall, it's strong. We're still seeing super big spikes in prospects when there's big news, which is cool. You've seen big stars, though, definitely slip in price some, which I think is a good buying opportunity. Acuna, Tatis, Soto. You know, Judge has sold really well, though, this year. Trout's also out. So, I mean, there's a decent buying opportunity with Trout right now because his prices have come down some, which I didn't think would happen. Overall, though, baseball's still a pretty strong market. And that's one thing we have seen in the past. You know, ebbs and flows along over the course of the season because baseball's so long, the season. So this doesn't actually scare me. I think baseball's a very safe investment still. Overall, B+.
Oh, B+ is how you'd... Okay.
B+.
That's good. That's what B+. I made a lot of Bs.
Brag about it. I didn't go to college.
I didn't say college.
Okay, Yehuda
Rosenblatt. With the market dip and buyers becoming
smarter.
You know what's
funny? I talked to this guy quite a bit online. I have no idea how you pronounce his first name.
I have to be.
Rosenblatt's a good guy. I just call him Y because I don't have any idea how to. So
Why?
He's a heck of a guy. Next.
All right. Mr. Rosenblatt.
There you go.
With the market dip and buyers becoming smarter, maybe less reactive, would you sell a guy like Booker now with series tied or expect his stuff to rise sometime next year purely based on the market moving back up a bit?
No, because I think the market will move up a bit. So, well, yes and no. I would sell his base stuff. Almost anything with a high pop, even though I think pop counts are overrated, anything like base mass-produced stuff that has a pretty high pop, I would sell right now. His prices actually did move up a little bit during the playoffs compared to where they were a month ago when everything was really in a gully. If you have like low-numbered stuff, though, for him, like really nice patch autos, I think the Suns are going to be a pretty relevant team out west. I wouldn't mind holding that unless something crazy happened. If they go on a finals run, I'm selling everything I got of the guy. But if they were to lose like in 7 to the Lakers, I would have wanted to have sold all my stuff here and hold the big stuff until next season.
Okay.
All right, one more.
All right, last one. Thomas Wolf, congrats on your 8,000 members.
By the way, he actually had a good question somewhere too. So Thomas Wolf helps run Group Break Checklist, which is a site I use. Every new product that comes out, his little plug for him, by the way.
Yeah,
they break down each team, players available, what hits you can get for that team. He had asked something, though, about Wax.
Yes.
Do you have that question? That was actually a good question. I do look at some of these. I should look more.
The only question I see, it's not Thomas Wolf?
I think it's Jay Thomas Wolf. I'm pretty sure his first name is Jimmy. I've met him. I don't know if I've met him, actually.
But all right, John?
Jimmy Johns. He makes subs and checklists.
Great so there guy. Is some there's some Wax in here. It's a very long question, though.
Is it his?
So, yeah. So will pre-sale Bucks pricing ever come back down to normal, or are those days gone?
Yeah. No, not. And Wax has been the most stable investment over this market this whole time. It's the only thing that has not had big dips. So no, I don't think, I mean, basketball's a little soft right now, but compared to pre-sale pricing, it's astronomically profitable. The part about that question, he talked about distributors. Distributors are not to blame for pricing. A hot market is. Like, that's just as simple as that. People want to point at distributors, breakers, blowout. If people stop buying this stuff, by and large, for high prices, then people would lower their pricing. The reason we don't have to lower our prices is because it is selling for that. That's just the market value right now. I don't think that changes anytime soon. It would take something very significant for that to happen.
Okay.
There you go. We're done.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's a good question. I liked his take. And yeah, we just hit 8,000 members in like 3 months on Facebook. That was kind of cool. Sports Cards Nonsense. Make sure you check out the Instagram, Twitter, the Facebook group, sportscardsnonsense.com, too. We have all of our sponsors, all our guys on there. Links to all their websites under card services. Make sure you check that stuff out. Anything else I'm missing?
Breakers are also listed on there.
Well, it's Eddie. Yeah, Geo Breaks. Eddie Mancini. He's a good
dude.
There you go. He's breaking today in the group on Facebook. He breaks every day of the week. I plug in once every 2 weeks for him to give him a day off. So.
Guys, if you're not already subscribe to Spotify. Just give them
subscribe
all of your
to the
money
show on Spotify
and just do all the things. Yep. I'm just trying to make up for last week.
There you go.
I didn't even know XM was still a thing. I just thought of radio.
Why'd you have to bring it back up? We're done.
You said it first.
All right. Goodbye. See you Thursday.
Bye, guys.